Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I am Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. On day 1010, we are here in Ezekiel 40. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you love us far more than we will ever begin to understand. We are thankful that you are actively at work to accomplish your purpose in the world. We are not on our own. Your sovereign rule over us, your spirit within us and among us, your plans and promises being fulfilled, these are the realities that we must live by. So help us to live by these realities today, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, Ezekiel chapter 40, visions of the new temple. In the 25th year of our exile, at the beginning of the year, on the 10th day of the month, in the 14th year after the city was struck down, on that very day, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me to the city. In visions of God, he brought me to the land of Israel and set me down on a very high mountain, on which was a structure like a city to the south. When he brought me there, behold, there was a man whose appearance was like bronze, with a linen cord and a measuring reed in his hand. And he was standing in the gateway. And the man said to me, Son of man, look with your eyes, and hear with your ears, and set your heart upon all that I shall show you. For you were brought here in order that I might show it to you. Declare all that you see to the house of Israel. And behold, there was a wall all around the outside of the temple area, and the length of the measuring reed in the man's hand was 6 long cubits, each being a cubit and a hand breadth in length. So he measured the thickness of the wall, 1 reed, and the height, 1 reed. So he's got this reed. I just want you to see this. It's 6 cubits long, a long cubit, so probably about 20 inches, and then 6 of those, so about 120, 10 feet. So just get a sense of the length of about 10 feet. So he measures the thickness of the wall, 1 reed, and the height, 1 reed. Then he went into the gateway, facing east, going up its steps, and measured the threshold of the gate, 1 reed deep, and the side rooms, 1 reed long and 1 reed broad, and the space between the side rooms, 5 cubits, and the threshold of the gate by the vestibule of the gate at the inner end, 1 reed. Then he measured the vestibule of the gateway from the inside, 1 reed. Then he measured the vestibule of the gateway, 8 cubits, and its jambs, 2 cubits, and the vestibule of the gate was at the inner end. And there were 3 side rooms on either side of the east gate. The 3 were of the same size, and the jambs on either side were of the same size. Then he measured the width of the opening of the gateway, 10 cubits, and the length of the gateway, 13 cubits. There was a barrier before the side rooms, 1 cubit on either side, and the side rooms were 6 cubits on either side. Then he measured the gate from the ceiling of the one side room to the ceiling of the other, a breadth of 25 cubits. The openings faced each other. He measured also the vestibule, 60 cubits, and around the vestibule of the gateway was the court. From the front of the gate, at the entrance to the front of the inner vestibule of the gate, was 50 cubits, and the gateway had windows all around, narrowing inwards toward the side rooms and toward their jambs, and likewise the vestibule had windows all around inside, and on the jambs were palm trees. Then he brought me into the outer court, and behold, there were chambers and a pavement all around the court. 30 chambers faced the pavement, and the pavement ran alongside of the gates, corresponding to the length of the gates. This was the lower pavement. Then he measured the distance from the inner front of the lower gate to the outer front of the inner court, 100 cubits on the east side and on the north side. As for the gate that faced toward the north, belonging to the outer court, he measured its length and its breadth, its side rooms, 3 on either side, and its jambs and its vestibule were of the same size as those of the first gate. Its length was 50 cubits, and its breadth 25 cubits, and its windows, its vestibule, and its palm trees were of the same size as those of the gate that faced toward the east, and by 7 steps people would go up to it and find its vestibule before them. And opposite the gate on the north, as on the east, was a gate to the inner court, and he measured from gate to gate 100 cubits. And he led me toward the south, and behold, there was a gate on the south, and he measured its jambs and its vestibule. They had the same size as the others. Both it and its vestibule had windows all around, like the windows of the others. Its length was 50 cubits, and its breadth 25 cubits, and there were 7 steps leading up to it, and its vestibule was before them, and it had palm trees on its jambs, 1 on either side, and there was a gate on the south of the inner court, and he measured from gate to gate toward the south 100 cubits. Then he brought me to the inner court through the south gate, and he measured the south gate. It was of the same size as the others. Its side rooms, its jambs, and its vestibule were of the same size as the others, and both it and its vestibule had windows all around. Its length was 50 cubits, and its breadth 25 cubits, and there were vestibules all around, 25 cubits long, 5 cubits broad. Its vestibules faced the outer court, and palm trees were on its jambs, and its stairway had 8 steps. Then he brought me to the inner court on the east side, and he measured the gate. It was of the same size as the others. Its side rooms, its jambs, and its vestibule were of the same size as the others, and both it and the vestibule had windows all around. Its length was 50 cubits, its breadth 25 cubits. Its vestibule faced the outer court, and it had palm trees on its jambs on either side, and its stairway had 8 steps. Then he brought me to the north gate, and he measured it. It had the same size as the others. Its side rooms, its jambs, and its vestibule were of the same size as the others, and it had windows all around. Its length was 50 cubits, and its breadth 25 cubits. Its vestibule faced the outer court, and it had palm trees on its jambs on either side, and its stairway had 8 steps. There was a chamber with its door in the vestibule of the gate, where the burnt offering was to be washed. And in the vestibule of the gate there were 2 tables on either side, on which the burnt offering and the sin offering and the guilt offering were to be slaughtered. And off to the side, on the outside as one goes up to the entrance of the north gate, there were 2 tables. 4 tables were on either side of the gate, 8 tables on which to slaughter. And there were 4 tables of hewn stone for the burnt offering, 1.5 cubits long, and 1.5 cubits broad, and 1 cubit high, on which the instruments were to be laid, with which the burnt offerings and the sacrifices were slaughtered. And hooks, 1 hand breadth long, were fastened all around within, and on the tables the flesh of the offering was to be laid. On the outside of the inner gateway there were 2 chambers in the inner court, one at the side of the north gate facing south, the other at the side of the south gate facing north. And he said to me, "This chamber that faces south is for the priests who have charge of the temple, and the chamber that faces north is for the priests who have charge of the altar. These are the sons of Zadok, who alone among the sons of Levi may come near the Lord to minister to him." And he measured the court 100 cubits long and 100 cubits broad, 1 square, and the altar was in front of the temple. Then he brought me to the vestibule of the temple, and measured the jambs of the vestibule, 5 cubits on either side, and the breadth of the gate was 14 cubits, and the side walls of the gate were 3 cubits on either side. The length of the vestibule was 20 cubits, and the breadth 12 cubits, and people would go up to it by 10 steps. And there were pillars beside the jambs, one on either side. All right, that is Ezekiel chapter 40. So, here we have a vision of a new temple. So let's get a little bit of context for this. The people of God are in exile. They've been in exile for 14 years. The 14th year after the city was struck down on that very day. So 14 is not a coincidence. That's 2 times 7, right? So 14 years to the day, God gives a vision of a new temple. Now, he had already told them that when the temple was destroyed, the exile was going to last for 70 years. So basically, when the temple is destroyed, it's going to be 70 years before the temple is rebuilt. It was destroyed in 587, 586. It was rebuilt, finished in 517. So exactly as God said, it was 70 years later. This is 14 years into the 70 years. So on the surface of it, it seems like, hey, this is like a blueprint for the temple that's being given, that they should rebuild after they come back from exile. But it's more than that. It's a promise. It's a promise of what the Lord is going to do. And so the problem is, when they rebuilt the temple 70 years after it was destroyed, it didn't match this picture. It wasn't this big. It wasn't this grand. It wasn't this perfectly laid out. It just wasn't. In fact, the people who saw the temple when it was rebuilt, they wept because some of them remembered, you know, from when they were small children, they remembered the glory of the former temple. And some of them have heard stories of the glory of the former temple. And so the old people who were gathered in that congregation, those who were in their 80s or 90s, they wept when they saw this new temple, because it was such a shell of the former. Fast forward years later, King Herod becomes king of Judea, and he decides to win favor with the people because he's not a native Jew. He's actually an Edomite, an Idumean. But he converts to Judaism, and to win favor with the people, he decides that he's going to undertake the grand building project of building out and enhancing the temple and the temple complex. And so he builds that out, and it takes like 50 plus years for them to do that. But that temple still doesn't match what's being described here in Ezekiel 39 and 40. And then we get an interesting turn in biblical history. Starting with Jesus in John chapter 2, Jesus shows up at the temple and he says something very, very interesting. He cleanses the temple because the temple has been overtaken by money changers and animal sellers. And so he drives them out. This is the first time he does this. He does it at the beginning of his ministry, and he does it at the end of his ministry. Very important. Very, very important. The Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, those three, they record the cleansing of the temple that takes place at the end of Jesus' ministry. John alone provides for us the cleansing of the temple at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. So he cleanses them out, and he says, "Zeal for your house will consume me." And the Jews, in verse 18, they say to him, "What sign do you show us for doing these things?" And Jesus answers them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it in 3 days? But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When, therefore, he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken." So when Jesus points to this temple and he says, tear down this temple and I will raise it up in 3 days. It's taken 46 years to build, and they're still building, by the way. But Jesus was speaking of the temple of his body that he's going to raise from the dead. Now, later in Jesus' ministry, in Matthew 16, Peter makes his confession of faith. This is probably about halfway through Jesus' ministry. Peter makes his confession of faith at Caesarea Philippi. And he says, very famously, Jesus asked in verse 15, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answers him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Tear down this temple, and I'll rebuild it in 3 days, referring to his body, the body of Christ. And then I will build my church. We're getting some hints here. And it's not by coincidence that the church is then later called the body of Christ, especially in Paul's letters. And in Ephesians chapter 2, we're given from Paul a picture of what God is doing in the church, which, remember, Paul frequently calls the body of Christ. So, here in Ephesians 2, we'll pick up in verse 18. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So the church is being brought together and built up as the holy temple in the Lord, the body of Christ, the church, the dwelling place for God by the Spirit. And it's not just Paul who says this, but if we jump to 1 Peter chapter 2, I'm going quickly through a lot of passages, I know, but this is a very important bit of theology. Peter says, you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. For as it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a chosen cornerstone, precious. Whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So this cornerstone is a cornerstone of a new temple. He's the stone that the builders rejected that has become the cornerstone. And the temple that's being built is the church. So if we go back to Ezekiel 40, we're going to get into some of the details maybe next time we come back to this in a couple of days. But I just want us to see the big picture, and that is this earthly temple was never built by human hands. But God is building the spiritual temple of the church, where he dwells by his Spirit among his people. And when you get to the very end of the story, in Revelation 21 and 22, when we looked at those chapters, New Jerusalem is a temple city. It's a temple so glorious and so large that it's an unfathomably huge city. 10,000 stadia on a side, like 1,500 plus miles. In other words, huge, unimaginably huge. And it is the temple city, and it's the bride of Christ, it's the church in the finished state of glory. And I believe that these things are the ultimate fulfillment of this temple that Ezekiel is building. There was a partial fulfillment when the Exodus when the exiles returned and rebuilt, and we can read about that in Ezra, Nehemiah, and Haggai, that was a partial. But Jesus said his body was the temple. And Jesus said, I will build my church. And we are the body of Christ as the church. And Ephesians 2 and 1 Peter 2 tell us we're being built up into this living temple, this spiritual temple, that is, in the end, it's going to far surpass in glory even the glorious description given to us in Ezekiel. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us a vision for what you're doing in the world. You are building your temple, and that is the church. You have a part for each one of us to play in being a part of this temple. As we dig into this extended description of this temple over the next several days, we pray that you would give us wisdom by your Spirit and discernment to understand, that we might be your holy people, and that we might glorify you as you dwell in us. We pray these things, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that is Ezekiel 40. Tomorrow, we're jumping back to 2 Corinthians, picking up with chapter 5. Have a blessed day in the Lord.